Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of Radio Law Talk. I tell you, we should just be live all the time. You know, this is Hour 3, Denise and I and Todd. We have some fun, spirited discussions off the air. That's what's great about Radio Law Talk. We all don't necessarily have the same opinions, and even sometimes it's funny. Everyone will be all over the board as to what side they're on, and it's fun because as lawyers, that's what you have to do. You have to argue the case, and we had some fun masking discussions and kind of funny things that people do. But this hour at 855-LAW-RADIO, if you want to call in, 855-529-7234, we're going to talk about autopilot car crashes and what's going to happen in the future. The first felony charge is coming down. That's interesting. We're going to have a case or no case. We're also going to talk about the United States Supreme Court's going to hear a case involving stolen paintings by the Nazis. Don't forget, in the early, in the 1930s or late 30s and 40s, mainly in the 40s, the Nazis, that when they came in and took over countries, they stole and took a lot of famous artwork. And the whole issue was, and there's what's that movie called that's about that? The Jewish family that had a lot of famous artwork and the Nazis took them, but, The question is
Sound of Music.
Yes, Sound of Music. There we go.
Oh no, that was just drapery.
So anyway, long story short, what happens when finally in the 21st century they find these art pieces now that was their such and such's family's art piece back in the 40s that the Nazis took, and now it's in a hall at some of art facility hanging up, even in a museum. Does a family get that back? We're going to talk about that. My answer? Yes. But anyway, that's they should. I mean, if they can prove it. If they can prove it's their family's.
That's the point.
That's the point, is proving it. But we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to get into some other interesting things. We're going to talk about an inheritance fight. Again, we've talked about, we talked about the inheritance fight last time. But we've got about six or seven other things about video testimony violating the Sixth Amendment right. And we're going to also talk about the interesting Bill Paxton that died while in the hospital. What a sad deal, and whether or not what's going to happen with the lawsuit that is going on that case. So lots to talk about. But why we're here is one thing and one thing only, and that is Cal, case or no case.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
An Arizona woman has needed to lose weight, she said, since high school. And she sought weight loss surgery on the advice of her doctor. And looking around to find someone to perform the operation, which was not covered by insurance at that time, she looked at economical options and was recruited by a U.S. company to go to Mexico to get the weight loss surgery, bariatric surgery. Of course, there are clinics for bariatric surgery, dental implants, dentures all across the Mexican border from Juarez to Tijuana. Jessica went, saying it would save her about $7,000, and the doctor she went to said he was the number one weight loss surgeon in all of Mexico. Trusting, she went. A gastric sleeve was in her future. Hundreds of patients endorsed the doctor, and they were wrong. After the surgery, it was horrid. She was in pain. She feared she might die. The pain was unreal. He had lacerated her spleen and shredded her stomach so it could not be put properly back together. A horrible surgery. She paid thousands for subsequent medical treatment because her insurance company said, "You decided to go to Mexico for the surgery. Your problems are now your problems." So she decided to make the doctor's problem and the insurance company's problem her problem by seeing if she had a case or no case. So Denise, she went after the insurance company and the doctor in Mexico. What do you think? Case or no case?
It's a good premise.
Yeah.
I do. I think it's a really good premise.
Thank you.
And you know what? There are thousands and thousands of people, Americans, that every day they cross into Mexico borders to have different types of surgeries.
It's true.
Everything from teeth removal to dental implants to, you know, bariatric surgery, whatever it is.
Bariatric
surgery.
Geriatric surgery.
Geriatric surgery. Yes,
I like that.
I went in. I was 80. I came out. I was 40. What the?
She made the decision to go there to a Mexican doctor because it was not covered by insurance company here. It's not a case. It's could be a scenario, but it's really not a case.
Okay. By the way, since Obamacare, bariatric surgery for most patients, if it's not cosmetic but a medical procedure, is covered, but it was not for a long time. Okay, Fred, what do you think? Case or no case?
First of all, a lawsuit against the doctors in Mexico, good luck. We have had, as a personal injury lawyer, I have dealt with cases out of Mexico. Actually, people who have died in buses and while they're touring. Very difficult. The doctors, there's all types of issues of whether or not they're going to be held liable in the United States. You know, there's issues of were they, quote, touching the United States, doing work in the United States? The answer is no. It was all in Mexico. You got to sue in Mexico. So the answer is there's no way. Well, they're not going to sue in Mexico probably because they're not going to win. They could get a law firm in Mexico to try to bring the lawsuit, but good luck in winning that. And the second thing is, I don't know how they'd sue the insurance company. I'm assuming the insurance company says we're not going to cover the to fix all the screw ups.
The post operative problems. Yeah. You're on your own, right?
Yeah, post operative problems when you came back. Right. It depends on the insurance company's contract with the individual. I don't know what that is. But generally speaking, insurance companies do, health insurance do cover, you know, a lot of times pre existing stuff. But I don't know the answer to that. That's something I would have to delve into because this all comes down to one thing. Cal made it up and just typed it up, and this is not a case.
And he used shredded spleen to try to hook us.
No, lacerated spleen and shredded stomach. Come on, get my terms. If you think I made it up, at least get my fiction right. Mr. Cunin, what do you say?
My intent to get a shredded beef chimichanga for lunch just went out the window. Thank you very much, Cal.
Sorry.
Okay, so here we go. I'm pretty certain I'm behind on points because I was gone last week and who knows what's going on. I'm going to say that this is a case and that she prevails. I know the expert in personal injury here said the opposite, but I'm going to say that she prevails because...
Against the insurance or against the Mexican doctor?
She sues the doctor. I mean, because, look, my thought is you go down there. I say who in their right mind, but it happens all the time. Who would go down there and say, yeah, I'd like to perform surgery, and I agree that if you completely botch this thing, I have absolutely zero recourse. Okay. And I think that because surgeries that are occurring in Mexico that people don't think they can get here in the United States are on the rise, that maybe down in Mexico they have a vested interest in trying to keep it looking appealing and avoid the negative press. And so she, whether she has a U.S. attorney sue in Mexico or she hires a law firm in Mexico, she sues and is awarded some sort of compensation, whether at trial or via a settlement. But she sues and prevails. It is a case.
That was a lot of good talking and kind of semi-illegible, but not too bad. I think for a criminal lawyer, you laid it out nicely, but you didn't answer the question whether the insurance company was sued and won. Did they win?
I don't have to say who she sued. I have to say if she filed a lawsuit.
No. But who did she win against?
I have. Well, I'm sure Cal will tell us. She filed a lawsuit and she got money.
She won. All right. Yeah. When we come back, keep your seatbelts on and you know, tightened up because Cal's going to tell us about case or no case and who the winner and loser.
Tourism is New Zealand, believe it or not. So we'll talk about that as we continue here on Radio Law Talk. Stay tuned. There's much more of the program coming up.
Fred, Todd, and Denise will be right back with more Radio Law Talk after we take this break.
Commercial Center, the announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. That's 800.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Radio Law Talk. Now, back to the show.
Cal, we're always serious on Radio Law Talk. Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
So, we case or no case, Cal, I'm interested to see if Todd was able to gain some points.
I knew my answer would bug him.
I still think Denise and I are right. So, go ahead and lay out the facts briefly again, Cal, and tell us what the outcome is.
Arizona woman gets bariatric surgery. Turns out it does not go well. The doctor botched it badly. He said he's the number one weight loss surgery in Mexico. Turns out he's had four patients die that he has operated on, she finds out afterward. And then she gets together with three other people, and they file a class action lawsuit against the doctor in Mexico.
Oh, Toddy!
However, that suit has not yet come to trial.
Doesn't matter. Todd wins.
Yes, Todd wins because he got it right. So congratulations, Mr. Kuhn.
So only at one point.
Only at one point. It is a case.
But you're a winner. Winner, chicken case. Dinner.
Yes. And wow. So here's the upshot of this. If you decide to be a medical tourist, don't take a but what happens is they have people in the U.S. that recruit people for the medical doctors outside of the country. Don't take their word for it. Find some other way to do and to check up the background of that doctor. Because this doctor may be perfectly good for 9 out of 10 people, but that one there's a problem.
So the class action was brought in the United States, correct?
Correct.
And that's
people.
Because there was minimum contacts.
Yeah.
That means that the doctor had enough contacts with the United States that it gives the United States jurisdiction because they had people recruiting in the United States.
Correct. And they went after the recruiting company, the insurance company, and the doctor. And from what I've seen, Anna Werner, who's the investigative reporter for CBS, did a story on this. And it looked like, of course, they don't do the story when the suit comes finished. They just do it when the suit gets filed. Then it's news, right? But it has been filed, and congratulations to Mr. Kuhnen, because that is...
So let me get this straight.
Okay, yeah.
So we got a coyote that's bringing somebody illegally across the border into the United States. And on the return trip, he's going to take a fat guy back to go get stomach surgery.
Well,
that's maximizing your return
trip.
It's all logistics.
It's like the truck driver. You don't want to go back home
empty.
You don't
want to come back empty. No. We start trolling. I don't know. Hey, your teeth look terrible. Follow me. Let's go to Mexico, and we'll get you.
I did hear the story of a guy who had some serious dental problems, missing jawbone and so on, and he went to Mexico, and they took coral, the bone coral, and implanted that in his jaw, presuming that the bone would, all kinds of odd and interesting and sometimes experimental treatments can take place. So you've got to check it out and make absolutely sure, A, that the doc is good and qualified, and B, that they're using correct, proper techniques.
Guy goes swimming in the ocean, his face swells up and becomes a reef. That's great. Well, this wasn't a disclaimer.
Bunch of plankton. You know.
Good heavens. SpongeBob is living in the bowels of his mouth.
So that's case or no case, folks. Now back to the show.
Interesting. So this autopilot, that's on the Teslas, but that's now coming out on other vehicles. Now, it's the first known crash, that is known to bring a felony charge in California. Now, I remember there was the Arizona one, though. Remember?
Yeah.
There was Arizona charged a negligent homicide in 2022 against another driver of Uber. But they were taking part in a testing of a fully automatic, right? So it's a little different. This one is a semi-automatic, car that, a normal person was driving that wasn't like part of this Uber test, drive, right? So this is the first kind of semi-automated vehicle.
Yes.
That an individual is being prosecuted, and it's in California. This happened in 2019. Two people were killed when the Tesla autopilot somehow ran a red light and killed these two individual people. I'm telling you, I've been in Teslas and I've been in vehicles that have the autopilot stuff, and it still makes me a little nervous. I was a passenger, and I saw I've seen people looking down in a Tesla and reading something or typing something on their iPhone, and it's driving itself. The technology is pretty cool, to be honest with you, but
until it doesn't work. Yeah.
Does it make you a little nervous, or is it just me?
Yeah.
Well, don't you have like automated brakes or something on your car?
Yeah, there is.
You said that that saved you several times.
Yeah, one time it did, but you're right. There's one time that I didn't brake in time, and the brakes kicked in for me. So yes, I like that. But what happens if it doesn't work right and you hit them and it's more automated car than just the brakes?
It sounds automated. Sounds like an arranged marriage. Listen, so
Automatically.
Automatically. Fred, I seem to recall you have an article that you wrote about a year ago, wasn't it? Maybe it was a little more than a year ago. Not only did you talk about, I think you spoke of the Arizona case in the article, but in the article it went over the different types of automation that a car can have. And none of these cars, at least the car in this lawsuit, was not one of those that is so full, 100% automated that the person sitting in the quote-unquote driver's seat does not have the ability to take over the car if it perceives something wrong. This is not a car like that, okay? This car, and Fred, you were right in the, this car was traveling at a high rate of speed on the freeway. It took the exit at a high rate of speed. It went through a red light and then hit another car in front of it. And I can see why charges would be filed in this case, because the person in the operator's seat of the car would have to have known this is not an auto car like you see in the movie iRobot or Minority Report that drives for you and you don't do anything. And when you saw the car traveling at a high rate of speed getting off the freeway and approaching a red light, okay, and not slowing down.
We don't know. It might have been green and then went red. Who knows? We don't know.
Well, and having that happen, the allegation is that it ran a red light. When you saw that happening, at what point in time did you seek to take control of the car, or were you busy doing something else which you are told not to do?
Right.
So I see why the charge was filed.
Well,
how would you defend this case?
Well, we got 30 seconds. We have they pled not guilty. We're going to talk more about it when we come back, and Denise will be back to you on that.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on many great local radio stations. Some of you are listening by delay to our podcast, which is available free at RadioLawTalk.com and many other podcast services. We'll be back.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Keep listening for an exciting offer from U.S. Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. Plus, get free shipping and we'll bill your insurance company for you. CGMs are the newest in diabetic technology. They can help you stay in range and manage your diabetes better. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost. And delivery is free. Remember, if you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Call 800-251-7560, 800-251-7560, 800-251-7560. Co-pays and deductibles may apply. 800-251-7560. That's 800-251-7560. Sponsored by U.S. Medical Supply.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Winter weather is still affecting the east, as for the second weekend in a row, a huge winter storm has rolled its way through the Carolinas. John Millwood is a Clinton, South Carolina resident who says he's never seen the region get that kind of winter weather before.
Very unusual. Very unusual. Like I said, I'm 54, and I've never seen weather like this in quite a long time.
Federal authorities officially declaring last week's hostage standoff at a Texas synagogue an act of terrorism. The assistant to the president for Homeland Security, Jill Sanborn, says the FBI is treating that standoff as an act of terrorism that targeted the Jewish community. Sanborn made the comment yesterday on a conference call with reporters. Malik Akram last week took four people hostage at Congregation Beth Israel near Fort Worth before he was fatally shot by law enforcement. This is USA Radio News.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I need to pay bills. When is my tax refund coming?
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
I need to set up a payment plan. How do I do that?
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
I need help with my taxes. Does the IRS offer free help?
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Need answers to your tax questions? Go to irs.gov.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
This is no fun.
That is Armadillo.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
So we're back talking about the Tesla autopilot crash, that the first felony charges, at least in this manner, other than that Arizona 2021 we talked about before. But since 2016, Denise brought forth 26 crashes involving the autopilot since 2016. It's resulted in at least 11 deaths. Now, this is what, as a personal injury lawyer, on a case like this, some of the biggest issues are people who are killed in accidents by the negligence of others. The problem is finding the amount of money to pursue. And they've, in this case, they not only sued the guy driving, but they have sued Tesla for, you know, the manufacturer, you know, defect somehow that caused what the defendant in this case is arguing is that the car just kind of took off on its own and was speeding and basically saying there's nothing he could have done about it, right?
That's right. The confusing thing coming out and all the reports on this lawsuit that was filed is folks need to remember there are two types of vehicular manslaughter that are felony related under Penal Code Section 192 in California. And specific to vehicular manslaughter, one is gross vehicular manslaughter, which carries with it an element that the driver exhibited gross negligence, and then the other is just ordinary negligence. They can both be felonies. But what I don't know is if they're charging the defendant in this case with the gross negligence or not. But essentially, what it is for if you're driving a vehicle and you engage in an unlawful act, okay, so you're speeding. You're speeding down the road. It's unlawful, but it's not a felony to speed. It's maybe a misdemeanor if it's fast enough or an infraction. But you do that, you're speeding, and because of the speeding, you can't slow down. You rear-end somebody, and it's a dangerous act, and it causes the death of somebody else. That would be an example of gross vehicular manslaughter, a felony, if they can prove that your actions were so negligent that it was gross negligence compared to ordinary negligence. Again, they can both be felonies. Now, Denise, you asked me the question when we went into the break. How would you defend something like this? And obviously, I don't know the facts and circumstances of the case, but there is one statement that came in the articles that we were reading about it, which is the claim from the defendant that the vehicle that he was driving in, it was supposed to be this auto Tesla, the vehicle suddenly started to accelerate and it caught him off guard. It was unexpected. And that's what caused it to run the red light and it hit the car.
Yeah, right? And that the brake system, it's an autopilot system car, but the brakes are not. They're not on autopilot.
No, so, they're not. And, right. And if for a good reason, it's
the brakes are not autopilot.
If the car will slow down,
right.
But the reason why they say the brakes are not on autopilot is because at any point in time, the driver of the vehicle can hit the brakes to take control of the vehicle. It's not unlike anybody who's ever taken driver's ed, and you got your driver instructor seated in the passenger seat, and they got that little chicken brake there. I remember when I was 16 years old taking driver's ed, and he was peppering that chicken brake. I'm in the back seat, and one of the kids up front is driving and didn't know. Well, anyway, just didn't know how to drive, and was scaring the tar out of the driver instructor. But he could take control of the car simply by hitting the brake, right? So how do we defend against the case? The issue here, just this armchair quarterback Todd here, the issue here is going to be when the car began to accelerate unexpectedly. Did you try to apply, is it your statement that you tried to apply the brake or take control and the car would not let you do that? And so you were just, I could not take control of the car? Or will it turn out that the evidence is the car started to act in an unexpected manner, but you didn't even try to take control of it? If it's the latter, there's liability. If it's the former, then that is your defense. I tried to take control of the car, but I couldn't. The car would not let me. I don't know if that was the case or not, but I think that liability is going to hinge on which side of the fence that question falls on. So we'll see. We'll see. If the car wouldn't let him take control, I don't see how they prosecute him. But my guess is the prosecution thinks they already have an answer to that question. That's why they filed it.
Ready for this? Remember last May, a California man was arrested when the police noticed he was in his Tesla moving down the freeway and he was sitting in the back seat. No one was at the driving wheel. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
So they're cruising along. The cop pulls over, looks, and guy's in the back seat working on the computer, and his Tesla's on autopilot, and there's no one sitting in the driver's seat. That's crazy. But maybe that's the future. I don't know. A lot of things happen now that people said, "Oh my gosh, what's going on?" And that'll never happen, right? So we're gonna get into that. I'm sure we'll hear this in more detail. Denise, you want to talk about the painting stolen by Nazis during the World War II? But there is I can't remember the name of the movie. There's a movie about this that talks about these families that tried to protect and hide these valuable paintings from the Nazis. And sometimes not only would they just steal them and keep them, but they would destroy them. And so now what's happened is some of these are starting to come to light. They're finding them. Oh, they're in a museum or this person's private collection. And they're like, hey, that's my family's painting. Who gets those paintings? Denise.
Yeah, this is a really interesting story. David Cassier, his grandmother, his great-grandmother, she was a German Jew, and she owned a Pissarro oil painting from 1897. Very expensive.
Yeah.
One of only 15 that he painted about what his view was from his window in Paris. So very, very famous painter. And what happened was she took it to a Nazi art gallery, if you will, and she was paid a set amount of money, well below the value, it was like $360. The money went into an account. She couldn't access that money, but it allowed her to get safe passage for her and her husband to get out of Nazi Germany.
Oh.
So then this famous painting shows up in a Spanish museum. And so David Cassier finds out about that it's there, and he can show that his grandmother owned it and that she gave it up, and so he has all of these different things. However, in this case, Sandra Sotomayor, who is one of our Supreme Court justices, she said, hey, in this case, it's going to be Spanish law that applies because that's where it is located. And the Spanish law does not recognize the rights of these Jewish victims, if you will, to get their artwork back. So he may ultimately lose because of the decision.
It says it's worth $500,000 to $1 million.
Yes.
Now listen, here's the interesting. I know this sounds really pompous, but please forgive me for the amount of fight and the lawyers and the costs. Maybe it's just more of a family heirloom, but the $500,000, it's going to cost $500,000 to fight this, right? You wonder, are you chasing nickels for pennies? And that's the question.
Yeah, but some things are way above the cost.
Right.
Because you think about it, this painting was used to secure his life because his great-grandparents would never have survived or may never have survived.
The Monuments Men. The Monuments Men was the name of the movie you're talking about.
Oh, good. The Monuments
Men. The Monuments Men.
Okay.
They went in
oh, that's right. They were actually trying and bringing cases. Yeah, that's
true. What it is. That's cool.
Yeah. This is just such an interesting point.
It is. We got in Kentucky. This one I want to talk to my prosecutor here, former prosecutor beside me. So an individual's pardoned by the Kentucky governor, and he was because he was convicted of a murder. And then this individual's name is Patrick Baker. Supposedly he murdered someone during a drug trafficking crime, and he had been out of prison when the former governor Matt Bavin pardoned him for slaying of a guy named Donald Mills. So he pardons him, and then it comes back that they go ahead, even though he's been pardoned for that, the federal government brings new charges against him, for that same,
same murder.
Mm-hmm. But I guess they look different types of charges. He's found guilty and stuck in prison, is sentenced to 42 years in prison. So, Todd, how do they do that? And we're going to talk about that when we come back. I know you don't know all the answers to this, but that just seems bizarre. I'm sure they found another avenue to bring another, quote, separate case against him, but there's a double jeopardy under the Constitution.
The lack of faith that I wouldn't know all the answers.
We'll be back after this, Mr. All the Answers.
Have faith in Todd.
Stay tuned. Have faith. There's more Radio Law Talk coming right up, right here.
Is available 9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast.
Radio Law Talk and Radio Law Talk.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com.
MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You're a whiner. All that stuff.
Email the show anytime you'd like. Info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info. Info at radiolawtalk.com. .com.
Yeah, to our former prosecutor in Tennessee and California now, doing some defense, criminal law defense, Todd Kuhnin. What about that Kentucky killer?
Yeah.
That is, I don't get how that works. He's pardoned by the governor, which the governor can do. And then so he gets out of prison, and then they go back to the same basic case and try him for something different. And he's sentenced and found guilty and sentenced to 42 years.
He's tried for the same thing.
He is, and he is not. Because that's where we have the difference between state law and federal law. Remember Michael Vick? Michael Vick, the football player, had to face charges on pretty much the same course of conduct in both state court and federal court. And the Supreme Court has ruled on more than one occasion that it does not violate the Double Jeopardy Clause of the Constitution.
What's the Double Jeopardy Clause?
The Double Jeopardy Clause is where you've been on the show Jeopardy twice, one with Alex. No. Kidding. Double jeopardy is what protects somebody from being tried in the same jurisdiction for the same crime twice. So let's say you committed, you're accused of an offense, you do a trial, you receive a full acquittal, and then the DA gets additional evidence and decides, oh, well, we didn't have this then, so let's go ahead and charge you again for the exact same thing. Double jeopardy says, no, you don't get to do that, okay? But there is an exception when it comes to whether or not the first trial was federal jurisdiction or state jurisdiction. And the Supreme Court has said, look, the Constitution of the United States governs federal law and how the federal government works. And if the state government goes after you for something, that doesn't preclude the federal government from going after you for the same thing. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's under a different state. It doesn't preclude that under the Double Jeopardy Clause.
Because it can be a crime under the state law, and it also can be a crime under the federal law.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in this case here, in this particular case, Patrick Baker had been convicted of homicide-related robbery and several things at the state level in Kentucky. And then when the governor, Matt Bevin, got in, he issued a bunch of pardons. Now, Baker was only 2 years into a 19-year sentence. And he and the governor, Bevin, pardoned Baker, commuted his sentence, pardoned him. Well, that raised a lot of red flags, a lot of eyebrows there, because prior to that, the family of Patrick Baker had held some fundraisers for the governor, Matt Bevin, to help cancel some campaign debt. And not surprisingly, shortly after that fundraiser had occurred, this pardon came down. And I think the FBI was tasked with investigating the pardons that went down.
I think so, too.
But the federal government came in and said, okay, he gets the pardon, he's out. But because double jeopardy does not preclude us, we believe that justice would be served, because we're not precluded under double jeopardy, from prosecuting you for the murder of the same person. And the jury took about 6 hours, convicted him, and he was just sentenced to 42 years prison, for which the only pardon that could come down the pike, because it's a federal crime, is the President of the United States. So, and I don't think that that is going to happen anytime soon. And that's how you get around double jeopardy. Or it's not getting around it, it's double jeopardy doesn't apply in a situation
doesn't apply.
Like this.
Yeah, it's not the same jurisdiction charging twice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But if there's a lawsuit going on in third party, you can bet against it with cryptocurrency, can't you, Denise?
This is so fascinating. I mean, this, it's called Rival. It's a company that has, it's proposing to do an application that allows for people to invest in lawsuits and bet on them, which is a winning one and which is not. And they say their goal is to help people that can't afford to get in the federal court and have their valid cases heard, that they're going to help them and raise money for them. But really underlying all of it is investments and making a return on the investments. And Rival has said that they're going to have 50% annual return on these different investments, which sounds a little bit too...
Well, they're saying it's a coin toss, 50-50. Isn't that what they're saying?
A Bitcoin toss.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Nice one, nice one.
Anyway, I find this to be really interesting. I wonder if future litigation is going to be allowed to be invested, just like it would be like a market of litigation investment in those. And I'm kind of interested where this is going to go.
Fred, quick question for you in the personal injury realm. Are there lending institutions that somebody can go to seek financing for litigation?
Tons of them.
Yes.
Okay. So that's what this is aimed at, for people to be able to bring litigation under circumstances where they don't think they would be able to obtain that funding.
Right.
Because maybe the lending institution looks at the case and says, yeah, we're going to lose our shirt if we lend you there. This is a way for, as it's being promulgated, for folks to still be able to pursue lawsuits by having a bunch of private investors to fund the lawsuits. We'll see. It's gaming.
Gaming. It's all weird. Look, Bill Paxton went in for surgery. He was a famous actor, if those of you know who he is. As he went into Los Angeles Hospital, he went in for heart surgery and he died. Had a stroke, and the hospital is being sued for punitive damages. I'm not going to get into that. We don't have enough time. We only have a few minutes. I'm not going to get into the punitive damages issue, but obviously they're arguing that, you know, the surgeons weren't trained properly. There was an overly aggressive surgery. They shouldn't have done what they did. They also did an autopsy without the family's knowledge or agreement. But here's the issue. In California, there's a cap on damages. You can only get $250,000 is the maximum for pain and suffering on medical malpractice cases. So it's very difficult for lawyers to handle it or want to handle it. And so why are they pursuing this case? Well, that is unlimited. Again, it's unlimited on wage loss. So if the family relied on his income for, which is called a special damage. It's not a general damage. General damages are limited to $250,000. If it's special damage that Bill Paxton was making money for his family and he was making X amount of dollars for how many years would he would have lived, and they put the averages of how long he'll live, then there's a substantial amount of money here against the hospital and the doctors in this case. Because you always ask yourself, why do they bring in these lawsuits, you know, when there's a $250,000 cap? Sounds like a lot of money, but in California, a lot of times the doctors have the say whether or not to settle the case. And when they tell their insurance company, don't settle the case, they'll take it to trial, and it costs a lot of money. But that's what they're going after, because he has, I'm reading the tea leaves, he's got to have a huge wage loss, the amount of money he could have been making for his family. Instead, he passed away.
As an actor, two ways he's making money. Two is the amount he's paid for any project he gets into as the upfront fee, you know, $2 million for a film, $5 million. Mm-hmm. And actors work into their 80s, so he had a long career left.
Right.
But they also make money on the royalties of things that they have been in. I would assume that the family's still making money on that, but he did lose a lot of future compensation.
Well, we've got a thing called quick takes at the very end. Cal, let's roll our quick takes, because that's important. Can I get started, Cal?
Sure, go ahead, Fred.
Well, you know what this is? Again, I'm not being political, but this is just something interesting. I was down in the Bay Area, standing outside with two ladies with their masks on, talking to one another. They walked in the restaurant with me, my wife. We had our masks on. They sat down, talked with their masks on across from each other, and then took their masks off and ate for 45 minutes and talking back and forth constantly to each other. I just don't get it, guys. I don't know. I'm not against it or for it. I just don't get it. Todd.
That's Fred's quick take. Todd, what's your quick take?
I'm waiting for Jamie Lynn Spears to come out to Britney and say, what are you hacking on me for? You asked for this kind of abuse. I mean, you did write the song Hit Me Baby One More Time.
And you told me you needed a book to get some pub. No, I'm kidding. Denise, what's your quick take?
Well, this GoFundMe, or this gaming app is not that different from what's already existing. Remember, Stormy Daniels paid Avenatti, at least in part, from a GoFundMe account.
That's true. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week at Radio Law Talk.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.